All right, Rabotai, B'simanat Tava, we came here this morning on Friday,
yes,
a very short day, Erev Shabbat, and just to say one quick thought on the Perasha, but before we say the short idea, I'd like to read to you the introduction of the Ramban. The Ramban wrote a Pirush on the Torah. But I think it's important to read his introduction, or part of it, just so we get a feeling of the sense of responsibility that the Rishonim had when they came to interpret the Torah. They understood the weight of what they were doing. They didn't take it casually, they didn't take it lightly what they were doing. They understood that this is a very, very serious endeavor to try to come along and explain Devar Hashem. He starts off and he says, "B'shem ha'el ha'gadol ha'gibor v'hanora, atchil lichtov hidushim b'firush ha'torah, ve'ema b'yir'ah, b'retet, b'ziyah, u'morah, מתפלל ומתוודה בלב נדכה ונפש שבורה, שואל סליחה, מבקש מחילה וכפרה, בקידה, בכליעה, בהשתחוויה, עד שיתפקקו כל חוליות שבשדרה. ונפשי יודעת מאוד ידיעה ברורה, שאין בצד הנמלה כנגד הגלגל העליון סעירה, כאשר חוכמתי קטנה ודעתי קצרה כנגד סתרי תורה, הצפונים בביתה התמונים בחדרה, כי כל יקר וכל פלא, כל סוד עמוק וכל חוכמה מפוארה, כמוס עימה חתום באוצרה, ברמז בדיבור בכתיבה ובאמירה. כאשר אמר הנביא המפואר בלבוש מלכות ועטרה, משיח אלוהי יעקב ונעים הזמירה, לכל תקרא ראיתי קץ, רחבה מצוותיך מאוד. ונאמר פלאות את בותיך כנצרתם נפשי." So he says, you know, forgive me. He makes a whole vidui agadol here before he writes his perush. He says, "I'm a nothing. I know I have my limited, finite wisdom, and I'm coming to explain a book over here that's divine." David HaMelech said that everything has an end. Lechot techla ra'iti ketz. There's a ketz to everything. However, your mitzvot is rechava mitzvatecha me'od. There's no end to the Torah. So involving yourself in something that's infinite, something that's divine and spiritual. So therefore the Ramban says, I'm very, very cautious of what he's about to do. I don't remember, I mean in high school, but I don't remember Shakespeare writing a Hagdamah like this before he wrote Romeo and Juliet. I don't remember him saying how he's making vidui, and how he's writing it and shaking and beretet and bezia and all that. Then he writes the, and this is why I'm reading the Hakdama. He sets out in the Hakdama to tell us what his purpose is in writing his pirush was. So he writes, "Va'asim demor panai nerot ha'menorah ha'teorah." He says, when I wrote my pirush, I put in front of me the lights of the pure menorah. What's the lights of the pure menorah? Pirush Rabbeinu Shlomo. Ater tzvi shvat tefarah. Rashi. The Ramban says, that's, I put in front of me pirush Rashi. Mukhtar bin Nimuse, bin Mikra, bin Mishnah, bin Gemara. Rashi is an expert in Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. Lo Mishpata Bechora. He gets the firstborn is him, the first rights. Bidvarav Ehege. And I will read his words. Be'ahavatam Ishge. And from the love of them I will toil. Ve'imahem Yelanu Masa Umatan Dirisha Bahakira. And in his words I will delve and have a business transaction. Bifshatav, midrashav, bechol agadav, betzura, asher befirushav zechura. So right away he sets out and tells you, listen, first and foremost is Rashi, Rabotai. So the Ramban says, I wrote my pirush to delve into pirush Rashi and what he's saying. The tremendous, tremendous respect. Rabbeinu Shlomo. Manche Yisrael. Parshan Data. The Chida, if I'm not mistaken, in Shema Gedolim writes that Rashi HaKadosh fasted 613 ta'aniyot before he wrote his Pirush on the Chumash. I think Shakespeare got drunk 613 times before he wrote his Romeo and Juliet. I remember reading that one somewhere. In any event, so you see already the respect and the honor that Ramban gives to Pirush Rashi. I also found in the Hakdama of the Or HaHaim HaKadosh, Or HaHaim HaKadosh also pays homage to Rashi HaKadosh, where he writes in the Hakdama, where he says, look at the way he refers to Rashi. He says, so I wrote my Pirush Or HaHaim, if I'm Ben Attar talking. He says, and then I wanted my Pirush to be written in a Chumash, next to the text. You know, so it's easy. The reader can read the Pasuk and then look on the bottom and see the... You know, originally these Mefarshim, they wrote the Pirush as a standalone Pirush. So you need to have a Chumash next to you and then, you know, look at the Pasuk and then... So it was a novel idea when they printed a Chumash with Pirush Rashi underneath it. That was already a big, revelation. So the Or HaHaim HaKadosh said, I wanted the printer to put my Pirush in the book. You know, to be part of the book. So he writes, V'ya'atsuni kelyotai, my ideas came, that Fisa Hadushim Semuchim la Mikra v'targum. Next to the text and the Targum, Upirush Adon HaMefarshim ve'oram. And next to Adon HaMefarshim, the master of the Mefarshim, Rabbeinu Shlomo Alav Shalom. Rabbeinu Shlomo. So this, the greatest Mefarshim of the Torah, from the Rishonim to the Aharonim, Or HaHaim HaKadosh, the respect that they have for, nobody starts with Pirush Rashi. Adon HaMefarshim. The Ramban says, I spent my whole Pirush over here in front of the Menorah Tehorah. Who's the Menorah Tehorah? That's Rashi's Pirush Al HaTorah. Wow. So just a very, very, very important hakdama. So, in honor of Rashi, I'd like to just make one slight observation on five words that Rashi mentioned in this week's parasha. I'll let you know when I'm going to say the five words. So the parasha begins, Bereshit. So right away, Rashi's bothered with this. Bereshit barayim toshamayim v'ta'ares, en ha-mikra haze omer ela dorsheni. It's amazing. What's the matter here? Shpidda. Oh, probably. What makes you think it's Sam? Good job, Mars.
Upstairs.
Okay, thank you, Mars. So, Bereshit bara. En ha-mikra haze omed ela dorsheni. It's an amazing thing. He says, this pasuk over here, you can't learn it unless you study the Midrash. Even though Rashi sets out to explain Peshuto shel Mikra, but he tells us, listen, without Chazal, you can't move. So it's very important, Rashi. The first Rashi in the Torah is telling us, even though I'm setting out to tell you Pshat, he says, but without the Rashot of Chazal, there's certain pesukim that you're not going to be able to get out of the box. So one of those pesukim is Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve ta'ares. What's the problem with this pesuk? How would you explain it simply? Bereshit, in the beginning, bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve ta'ares, that's not true. In the beginning, he did not create shamayim ve ta'ares. In the beginning, he created the light. So therefore, the pesuk is really, the way we read it, really doesn't make any sense. So you have to say, that in the beginning when Hashem created, in the beginning of the creation of the heaven and the earth and the world was Tohu Vavohu. When? You have to explain it a little differently. Not that he created it first. So the pshat, you have to take a crowbar and stick in the... Says you got to go to... take your crowbar out, put it on the side, and go to the Midrash. The Midrash explains the pasuk like this. Bereshit bara b'shvil ha-Torah shenekret reshit u'b'shvil shi-Yisrael shenekri'u reshit. Unbelievable. That's the way that she starts off the Torah. Rashida can't explain Peshutosh Shem Mikra. Right away says, hey, we're stuck with Peshutosh. Pshat's not going to help you. First Pasuk, they need a derash. And what's the derash? Bishvil HaTorah. The world was created for the Torah. And Bishvil Yisrael, which is also called Rashid. That's a tremendous revelation that Rashid tells us. That's not the five words I came to discuss today, but that's a tremendous revelation. If anybody asks you, what's the reason why Hashem created the world, the Shitat Rashi, Shvila Torah. The world was created because of the Torah. That's the purpose of the creation of the world, so the Torah can be fulfilled. Now obviously, who's going to fulfill the Torah? You need Yisrael. Lo asachem lechol goy. U'mishpatim bal yida'um. Bal yida'um. The first letter in the Torah is a bet, the last letter is a lamed. Bal yida'um. They don't have the Torah. So that was not given to them. Bal Yidam, the Bet Lamed was not given to them. Lo Asachem LeGoyim Mishpatim Bal Yidam, hallelujah. It was given to us. We once explained, based on this, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Ki simachtani b'fa'olecha b'ma'aseh yadecha aranen. Why we say on Shabbat? It's Moshe of Shabbat. Ki simachtani b'fa'olecha. What's ki simachtani b'fa'olecha b'ma'aseh yadecha aranen? What's the difference between pa'olecha and ma'aseh yadecha? Pa'olecha is something that is a pe'ula, it's an action. However, it's an action that's not complete yet. Ma'aseh yadecha is already when you take the pe'ula and you complete it, that's called ma'aseh yadecha. So therefore the pasuk is saying simply, kisimachtani b'fa'olecha. Yeah, the person's happy b'fa'olecha, but b'ma'aseh yadecha, aranen, even happier because it's already finished. When the world was created, the world was created unfinished because you did not have Yisrael yet and you did not have the Torah yet. Torah was not given until 2,000 years later, 2,400 years later, to Klai Yisrael at HaSinai. So David HaMelech says, Kisamati b'fa'olecha. When God created the world, that was pa'olecha. Kisamati. Ma'asei Yadecha. Ma'asei Yadecha is referring to a later time. When we received the Torah at HaSinai, then already at Anen. So there's two stages of the creation. There's fa'olecha and ma'asei Yadecha. You remember Yitro? Yitro is a convert. Yitro hears what happened to Klai Yisrael that came out of Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. Very, very amazing thing. He says, who's this little nation over here? This little nation of Jews, Jew boys, and all of a sudden, God's turning over the world for them. You know, Maharish, you know what a Jew was in those days? Jew was a nothing. What was a Jew to the world? Exactly, with the lowest of the low. What's a Jew? Same, remember some Kanasi days, Jew boy. The Jews were the lowest. Sammy the Jew, exactly. Sammy the bull, Sammy the Jew. Listen, for 210 years, Jews were known as Abadim, all over the world. Who's slaves? Lavdil. In this country, when you think of slaves, who do you think of? You think of the blacks. They were slaves in this country for many years. That's what you think. So, before the blacks, the Egyptians were black. When you thought of slaves, you didn't think of the blacks. You thought of the Jews, the blacks, that the Torah calls them Avadim. They were masters over the Jews. Because the Jews are lowest of the low of the time. Who would expect that God's going to go out of his way for the lowly Jew? We expect that God's going to turn over Sidrim Bereshit for the lowly Jew. The Jews are nothing. If you ask any philosopher that Yitro, by the way, was a philosopher. If you ask Yitro, who did God create the world for? The world for? Imagine somebody would have told Yitro, must be for the Jews. For the Jews? The Jews are the scum of the earth. The Jews are the lowest level of the earth. The Jews are good for nothing. They build buildings that fall down and they're slaves. No person in his right mind would have said that the world was created and God's whole purpose was for this low nation. You understand?
Wow.
Yeah, for 2,000 years, they wouldn't have said it. And all of a sudden, one day, the world is shocked. The front page of the newspaper, Sidre Bereshit are turned upside down. Seas split. Nation of Egypt topples. Not one Jew dies. Jews cross the water. Jews are living in the Midbar. No elements. I mean, no physical food. But they survive. Hashem, the God of the world, is creating super-duper natural miracles for Klal Yisrael. At that point, if you start to ask the smart people, they might come along and say, we're going to reevaluate our position over here. We never saw God react in such a way for anybody. For anybody. Nobody ever got such a red carpet treatment like the Jewish people. Nobody ever got such a... It was a shock to the world. At that point, they came along and said, hey, maybe the Jews are the chosen. And that's what happened by Yitro. This is why I want to explain the Pasuk. Vayishma Yitro. Vayishma means he understood. Now, say Vayishma, we understand. What did he understand? Et kol asher asa Elohim liYisrael. Now I'm explaining it. What does he mean? It called as that's for me, Sammy. Thank you. How do you know I want it? It called Asher Asa Elohim liYisrael. What is Elohim liYisrael? What's the name of God that was used when He created the world? Bereshit bara Elohim. So at that point, Yitro said, "Vayishma Yitro," he understood. It kol asher asa Elohim, that the Bereshit bara Elohim was for what? The Israel. Now we understood everything was for Israel. So it took the world thousands of years to come to that realization. That it kol asher asa Elohim in the creation of the world. That means Yitro came to the realization of this Rashi 2,500 years later. Rashi already tells you from the beginning. Bereshit. Bishvil Israel. The world was created. Bishvil the Torah. Yitro, okay, no problem. When he saw all the miracles that happened, Vayishma Yitro et kol asher asa Elohim bibriat ha'olam, et kol asher asa Elohim, what was it for? The Israel. All this was for Israel, which was a novel idea to come along and say that the purpose of the creation must be, because otherwise why would God change Sidre Bereshit for this nation unless that they're the main purpose of the creation? So that's the... That's the opening of Rashi over here. Phenomenal, phenomenal midrash. But everything is for Klal Yisrael. Now we discuss the creation of God, first creation. Vayomer Elohim yehi or. So there's or. There's light. You know what? I don't like to waste anybody's time. Anybody count the letters? How many letters until the word or?
36.
Okay, how'd you do that so fast? Let me count them myself. Okay, you must have heard it before. You must have heard it wrong. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 67, 68, 79, 80.
Letters, when I say letters, 80 letters until God says, "Vayomer Elohim Yeor." Fine. Just as a remez to this, I think the Sefer Haredim says, you have a Tehillim over there?
Yeah, Sam.
Beautiful, Sammy. In chapter 119, David HaMelech Alav HaShalom mentions the light, that God created the light. Where does he mention that God created the light? What he writes? In the letter Pe, Petach Devarecha Yair Mivin Petayim. Petach Devarecha Yair. When was God's first Petach Devarecha? What was God's first words, Petach Devarecha? The first thing he said was Vayomer Elohim. Petach Devarecha was what? Yair. David HaMelech writes it in Pe. 80. Why is he writing Pe? Pe is 80. To be amazed to us that there's something to say. That after already the 80th letter already has to come the inyan of the peh. I thought it just the ram is over there. Well, one day Bezat Hashem will see the sod of what the peh, why the light has to come only after 80. That's already obviously there's some significance in that. But nonetheless. So God says, let there be light. Let there be light. But this was strange over here. What was this light? It was the sun. What was it? The sun. It wasn't the sun. Okay, then what was it? So there's another source of light? So Rashi says, so Rashi, when it comes to Bereshit, he's struggling with the Pshat there. We gotta go back to the Midrash. That's fine. Leave the Midrash. Ufi Peshuto, you gotta go Pshat. What's Pshat? He created the sun. But it was not yet hung up yet. So you had light and darkness just
Be'erbubia.
Whatever that means. Light and darkness were just serving together. It was a bedlam. It was Or and Hoshek. It was together. And then what happens on Wednesday? We'll get to Wednesday? Let's get to Wednesday. On Wednesday it says, Bayomer Elohim yi me'orot birkiya shamayim. That's when he put the me'orot. That's when he hung them up. That means he made them on day one. He made the picture on day one, but he didn't hang it up until Wednesday. Understand the way that we're learning it? Yime orot ki ha-shamayim. And she says, lehavdil ben ayom, lehavdil. Now is a separation. Mishiganaza or ha-rishon, ava b'sha'at, ava b'sheshet, yime b'reshit shimsho, or v'hoshek ha-shirim, zeh b'yom v'zeh b'layla. It was together. In the first days. Shnem yahad, ben b'yom ben b'layla. Fine. Now I'm going to tell you the five words. I'm getting to the five words. So the Torah says, now the purpose of the sun. What do you need the sun for? V'ayu le'otot ul'mo'adim ul'yamim v'shanim. So what does that mean? V'ayu le'otot ul'mo'adim ul'yamim v'shanim. So Rashi says, it's Pasuk Yudalit. What is Le'otot? It's a sign. Kishe ha-me'orot lokin, when there's an eclipse,
Siman ra'hu la'olam. It's a bad sign for the world. Because you have to be careful when there's an eclipse. It's a bad sign for the world. So number one, the sun serves as a barometer of what's going on in Shamayim. Is angry or not. Ul Mu'adim. What Mu'adim? Holidays. Sha'atidim Yisrael istavot ala Mu'adim. The Jews are going to be commanded on the holidays. Vehem nimnim nemolad lebana. You need the moon, which is one of the me'orot, in order to establish the calendar. Correct? Today the calendar is established by the PTA. But in the olden days, before that PTA, they would establish the calendar according to the moon. And what did you need to make the calendar for? For holidays. Ul yamim. Vishanim. And to make years. And days. Beautiful. That's what she says so far. And then the pasuk says, "V'ayu le'me'orot b'rkei ha'shamayim," and the me'orot will be in the shamayim, "La'ir ala aris." La'ir ala aris means what? "V'ayu le'me'orot," they will serve as luminaries. What's a luminary? Lights. Now you ready for the five words of Rashi? Listen to the five words of Rashi. V'hayu lim'orot. Od zot yishameshu shiyairu le'olam. Do I need to say more, Rabotai? That Rashi is v'hayu lim'orot pasuk ted vav. Od zot yishameshu shiyairu le'olam. Oh. Rabotai. On the word Vehayulim Orot. If I were to ask you, what is the purpose of the sun? Simple question in biology class, whatever, science class, meteorological class, whatever class you want to call it. If I asked you, what is the purpose of the sun? Sammy, besides taking suntans, we know that. But outside of that, taking suntans, what's the main purpose of the sun? To give light. The sun is a light bulb. What do you mean it's a light bulb? Otherwise, we'd be in darkness. Comes the Hafetz Chaim and says, Rashi over here, in these five words, is setting the brain of the Jew correct. That really, the main purpose of the sun is what the Torah says the main purpose is. The Torah says this pasuk as a secondary. The first purpose is v'hayu le'otot ul-mu'adim. The purpose why Hashem created the sun and the moon is so the Jews can establish their holidays. That's the purpose. Go tell that to the guy in Harvard, that the reason why there's a moon is so we know when Pesach is. And the reason why there's a moon is so we could know exactly, because Rosh Hashanah has got to be bakese. It's got to be when the moon is covered. So therefore we got to have a moon so we can be covered so we can have Rosh Hashanah bakese. And you have to have a Sukkot on the 15th of the month when the moon... What are you talking about? The reason why there's a moon, you mean Armstrong went all the way up to the moon. We don't believe in the conspiracy theories. Let's say he went to the moon. The whole purpose of that moon was created for what? One purpose. In order that the Jews could make holidays. And why was the sun created? Because the sun is an otot. That when the sun is eclipsed, we know if God is angry at the goyim or not angry. And then the Torah says, oh, by the way, don't forget. V'hayu lim'orot. They're also luminaries. That she says, Odzot, as that's like a footnote. Odzot yishamshu shiyairu le'olam. Besides their primary reason for establishing Jewish holidays, Odzot, as a footnote, they also, P.S., I forgot to say, they also give light to the world, but let's not forget that. Wow! This Rashi over here is such a vital hashkafa. Is this hashkafa here? That everything that was created in the world, you have to change your way of looking at things. Everything was created for Yisrael to keep the Torah. That's the purpose. Bereshit, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil HaTorah. So don't, when you tell me why was the sun and the moon created? Bishvil Yisrael, Sheyikaymu et HaTorah. How? Otot u'mo'adim. I, it's also giving light? Otzot. She's saying, but is she adding those words? Also, he's trying to take the, if you were writing this pasuk, I would have written it differently. I would have said, listen, we need the sun and the moon, you know why? Because we need luminaries. The odzot, you can make a calendar, and you know what Pesach is, but the main thing is you need light. Pesach comes once a year, by the way. Light you need every single day. So I would have said, listen, the sun is for light, and the moon is for light. So at night you have light. And by the way, derech agav, once you have these things, you can measure the calendar. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, I created the sun and the moon to make the Jewish calendar so you know when Pesach and the holidays are. And the Mo'adim. The Odzot, you should know, derech agav. By the way, we're not taking it away from it. We cannot deny it. But it's an Odzot, it's a footnote. It's an amazing hashkafa from this Rashi over here. That the purpose of the creation of everything has to always be defined as what? Torah. Based on this, Rabotai, can I have the Sidur, Jaime? Please do. I'll give you a new perush to a prayer that you're going to say tomorrow morning in the in Shaharit. For those that come before Baruch Sha'amar, so they'll notice that before Baruch Sha'amar, we say, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Lelam Hasdoz. 26 Ki Lelam Hasdoz. Familiar with that? So in one of them, we say like this. Le'ose Orim Gedolim. God made the Orim Gedolim, the great luminaries, sun and the moon. Ki Le'olam Hasdoz. What does the basically say? Thank you. Thank you, God, for making the sun and the moon. Next one. Et ha-shemesh l'mshilet b'yom, et ha-erev k'mashulet b'alayla. We just said, le'oseirim gedolim. What are you repeating? Et ha-shemesh l'mshilet b'yom b'alayla. So I tell you the way I understood it before today. Before today, I understood, no. First of all, God, you created it on day one. Et le'oseirim gedolim, that you created it on day one. And on day, Wednesday, you hung them up. Et ha-shemesh l'mshilet b'yom, you separated, because on day one it was together. The sun and the moon were working together. So the first thing we're thanking God is, you made the sun and the moon, the sun of Gilim. The second thing is, isn't that we're learning the simple pshat? But based on this Rashim, we have a new pshat. You made the luminaries. You know why you made the luminaries? For the holidays. For the holidays, thank you very much. And also, it's a shemesh for the yom and the mana for the laila. Secondary, thank you for that also. Which means day and night is the second item. The first item that we're thanking Baruch Hu is, so when you see the moon at night, say Baruch Hashem, because of this moon over here, we have Pesach in the right time. We have the Sukkot in the right time. We have the Hagim are able to be established. We know exactly when, I'm not discriminating now between us and Goyim. I'm just trying to show you that the purpose of the luminaries is not like you thought till now, that the primary purpose is for light. And the secondary purpose is for Mo'adim. If you look at the way the Torah wrote it, it wrote Mo'adim first, and then the Rashi goes out of his way to say, Od zot yishamshu shi'airu le'olam. Od zot. I'll give you an example to this concept, Rabotai. I'll just give you a few examples. As I said, the day is short. On Berachot, Daf Mem Aleph. Berachot Mem Aleph, Berachot 41. Eres Chita Usora Vegefen utena verimon erez zechemen udvash. You know the famous pasuk that talks about the seven fruits that Israel is praised with? What's the seven fruits that Israel is praised with? Hummus, falafel, pizza. What are the seven fruits?
Shawarma.
Very good, Morris. That's three out of the four. So now, the Maccabee beer. Beer also. Eres chita usora. So you have wheat and barley. Gefen is grapes. Te'ena is figs. Limon is the pomegranate. Zechemen is the olives. Udvash is the dates. That's seven fruits. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Hanan, Kol ha-pasuk kulo l'shi'urin ne'emar. This whole pasuk over here is not coming to teach you fruits. It's coming to teach you biblical or rabbinical shi'urim, measures, measurements. For example, I'll give you an easy one so we don't get confused. Te'ena, fig. Kegrogeret lehotza'at Shabbat. That's the shi'ur that if you carry a te'ena size food on Shabbat, you have a hayav. Now, let's go back. So why did God create a te'ena? Te'ena, I don't know. They're a delicious fruit. Unbelievable. Te'ena is unbelievable. Anything better than figs? Who doesn't love figs? Remember the fig Newton? Used to have them in a cookie. Remember fig? You come home, you have figs. Unbelievable. Tu b'shvat. No. It's true, you can eat figs. That's nothing. Not that. But how are you going to know what the size of Isur to carry on Shabbat? You have to know that. That's so God has to create a model, like you're a salesman, right? So don't you have samples? So when you're a sample, you open your sample case. Okay, this is this item. This is this. So God said, listen, you can't carry on Shabbat.
Right.
How much? I don't know how much I can carry. Well, let me make you a sample so you know. So God makes a whole industry called the fig industry that's a multi-billion dollar industry. And you ask a businessman, why did God create figs? God says, panasa, figs, unbelievable. Ask the farmer, he makes a living. But you ask the Gemara, that's odzot. That's all odzot. That's a footnote. The real reason why Hashem made the fig is so you'll know Hilchot Shabbat. An unbelievable way of looking at everything. So everything you look at, you always have to look at how is this connected to Yisrael that they can keep the Torah. Because the whole world was created for Bereshit. The whole world was created for that. There's other functions, that's an odzot. I'll give you another example here. He says over here, dvash, dates. Kakoteva tegasa b'yom kippurim. On Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. How much do you have to eat on Kippur to be hayav karet? So you have to eat. Why are you listening to him? Why are you listening? Don't pay attention to him. The answers. The shi'ur that you have to eat on Yom Kippur is the shi'ur of devash, of a date. So why God create dates? They're delicious dates. Make honey from the dates. The dates are sweet. All that's very nice. We're not saying no. You get the dates, enjoy them. You can make also a different type of, I'm sure there's recipes that we use dates in for a lot of different foods that we cook. Delicious food. But Hashem says, listen, you can't eat on Kippur. You can't eat on Kippur. How much? Well, let me open my sample case. On the sample, I have a sample for you. It's called dvash. It's called a date. You see this? This is the amount that you can't eat on Kippur. Now, by the way, it happens to be sweet. It happens to be good for the lahmajin. It happens to be good for all other stuff. But at the end of the day, it was created ultimately for Yom Kippur. ועוד זאת, דרך אגב, ישמש לדברים אחרים. You believe it? Go tell a regular common guy from Harvard and say the purpose of the dates is in order that Jews will know the Shi'ur for Yom Kippur. What are you talking? First of all, what's a Jew? Second of all, what's Kippur? Third of all, what's a Shi'ur? He doesn't know any word you spoke. Only knows his dates.
Wow.
Okay, you don't know the reason then. You don't know Biddish, and you don't know what Yitro knew. Yitro knew that everything Hashem did is for Israel. Bereshit called Asher Asa Elohim the Israel. Everything's for Israel. He didn't come to the knowledge of Yitro yet. That's fantastic. It's a new way of looking at the whole world, Rabotai. It's a crazy, crazy, crazy thing. So if you look in the Humash over here, at the end of Parashat Bereshit, so it's it says when Noah was born, they called him Noah. Why they call him Noah? Because they knew already it's going to be a parashah called Noah, so they had to call him Noah. No, they didn't know. That's not the reason why they called him Noah. Zeh yinahamenu mema'asenu umetzebon yadenu. When Noah was born, he said, Baruch Hashem, this blessing, we don't have to work as hard as we've been working. He's going to relieve us from our strenuous work. Well, he was in charge of the union, Noah. What was he? Union boss? So, Noah was born, now we don't have to work so hard. The first teamster. What does it mean? Anybody have a pshat on that? Mefashim says something incredible. The Mefarshim say that before Noah, there was no Pisuk Yadayim. The hands were all like one piece. That's where you get these, the cavemen, they say, they didn't have the opposable thumb and all that. Could be they found fossils like that. Who knows what? Before Noah, everybody had, their hand was like a club. So how were they plowing? With their hand. They couldn't hold on to anything. Their hand was like a mitt. You can't hold on. So you can't hold on to anything. So how did they plow? All of a sudden, Noah was born with hands. So now we don't have to work so hard because now we can hold the plow in our hand. Now we can hold the tool. Understand? So the first one that was born, so they called him Noah, meaning he made it easy for us. It's easy now to work. Understand what's going on over here?
How do we know the hands opened up?
Where does it say that?
Yeah, I'm saying where are we getting it from?
I made it up. We have anything better to say? I made it up. I don't know what you want. You don't like it?
We love it.
Okay, so that's it. Just accept it. Oh, you want me to find it for you? I'll find it for you. Give me 1 minute over here. Maybe you want to shut this for a minute. I'll show you where I found it.
I remember I found it. Pause. Don't ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin it. Maybe I shouldn't pause it.
You read it every week. It's like candy. Unbelievable stuff in there. He finds all this. Yeah, amazing. He didn't do the varime, right? No, we're waiting for the varime. So on this book, Otzav Pilot HaTorah, so he has all these wondrous things. So, If I'm not mistaken, I saw it here. Pirud v'chiluk etzba'ot. Kuf mem aleph. Beseper parneya raza. Can I happy? Evi devar pele b'shem midrash avkir. שכל הנולדים קודם נוח היו כפות ידיהם אדוקות ומחוברות יחדיו בלי פירוד וחילוק אצבעות וכשנולד נוח היה לו חיתוך אצבעות okay, very good so if you ask a regular person why do you have פירוד אצבעות What would you say? Well, listen, functionality. How are you gonna throw a baseball if you don't have pirud etzba'ot? Not have the World Series, yeah? How are you gonna have a World Series if you don't have pirud etzba'ot? You can't have a pitcher. You can't hold a baseball bat. Bereshit in the big inning. You have over here a remez to the World Series in Parashat Bereshit. The point is. How are you going to have function? How are you going to drive a car? Yes, most people, what do you need pirud etzba'ot for? Every second is pirud etzba'ot. How do you sign a check? I do anything. That's the reason why you say it's pirud etzba'ot. Okay, but that doesn't explain why the thumb looks like a thumb, why the etzba is an etzba, why this thing is called a kemitzah, why is this an amah, why is this a kemitzah, why is this a zeret, why are the different shapes? To hold a baseball bat, you could have just five equal fingers. You don't need the hand to look like this. So comes the Gemara in Ketubot, on Daf He. And the Gemara comes along and tells you over here. The Amar Bil Azar, Mepnei ma etzbeotav shel adam domot liyetedot. May tama ilam mishum de mechalkan kol hada v'hada lemilteh. Every single finger has a purpose. The Amar Zeret Zu. The Amar Mor Zu Zeret Zu Kimitza Zu Ama Zu Etzba Zu Gudal. Each one is called a different name. אלא מה טעם משופות כי יתדות, שאם ישמע אדם דבר שאינו הגון יניח אצבעותיו באוזניו. Unbelievable, which means, the reason why this finger is created like this, is because Jews are forbidden to hear לשון הרע. And this finger fits perfectly into the ear. That's the reason why Hashem made this finger this shape. It's kadu for the Jews, so they will not hear לשון הרע. Hear this? Ask people why is the shape. The Gemara is telling you it's for the Bereshit, Bara Elohim, Bishvil Yisrael, Bishvil Torah. Furthermore, the Gemara goes on to say, that what do you have over here? This finger over here, the fourth finger is called what? The ring finger, the Kemitzah. So the Kohen Gadol can make the Kemitzah from the Ketoret. And you go through the whole Gemara gives you the reasons for each item. Again, you see that the whole purpose of the creation, even the fingers that a person has, the names of the fingers all define certain halakhot. The Gemara, the Midrash says, "Mi hikdimani va'ashalem." God says, "You want me to give you reward? God says, I'll give you reward for any mitzvah you do, so long as you beat me. Beat me means you come before me. Mi hikdimani, if you come before me, va'ashalem, I'll pay you. What do you mean come before me? Do the mitzvah before me. What does it mean? Do the mitzvah before me?" A guy comes along and says, "God, I did the Brit Milah." What does God say? "Who gave you the son? I gave you the son. You didn't beat me. I gave you the son. You didn't beat me. You couldn't do the Brit Milah without me. Try to do something before me. God, I put up a mezuzah. Who gave you the house? God, I built the sukkah. Who gave you the porch? You know what this madrash is coming to teach you? You know why there's a concept of porches? You ever hear a porch? You know what a porch is? You built a porch. You're building a porch?
Not a porch.
That's something else. The purpose of the porch is in order to build a sukkah. That's why there's porches. And also to build a ma'akeh, because the Torah says you have to build a parapet around your porch. You thought, no, porches so we can make parties, so we can sit outside and have a cigar. Ve'odzot. That might be. But the Midrash says the porch was there so you can build a sukkah. You know what my point is? If you ask most people, they go to look for a house. When they look to buy a house. Here, some of my members just bought houses. So where they looking? They walk in. Where's the master bedroom first? I want to see the master bedroom. Is there a master bathroom? Yeah. Is there a jacuzzi? They want to check to make sure the jacuzzi is working. The jets are working. They push the button. Okay, the jets are working. Okay, what else we want to check over here? Let's check. Is there a shed? Is there a garage? Very good. Is there parking? If there's parking, make sure there's parking. The car can fit. Can open the doors on both sides. Okay, that's it. You know how the real Jew... So what do you have a house for? You don't need a house. God says, you can live in a tent. Why did I make houses? Because houses are hayav and mezuzah. You don't put a mezuzah on a tent. So you know why God created the concept of houses? Because houses are a permanent resident, and on permanent residence, you could put a... So you know where you should look when you buy a house? Where's the doors? Where's the doors? So, wow, be joking, these doorposts. Unbelievable doorposts. Say, wow, beautiful. We'll put the mezuzah right over here. What are you looking at? Do you have a doorpost? What do you think? What should give us a house for? It should give us the house. We'll put the mezuzah up. But what about the jacuzzi? The odzot. We got a jacuzzi. That's secondary. The first thing that tzaddikim, when they can buy a house, you know what they look? Where am I putting the sukkah? Oh, there's no room for a sukkah. A big deal. So what? We're going to go to Florida anyway for sukkah. What's the difference? Sukkah. We in the shul sukkah. The main thing is to have a jacuzzi. The main thing is that there's a swimming pool. What do I have to have a sukkah for? The tzaddikim, they know that the purpose of the house is all for mitzvot. Otherwise, why giving a house for? It's only for mitzvot. Where am I going to learn? Where's my study? Where am I putting the books? Today they walk in. Wait, where are we going to put the screen TV? Where are we going to put the TVs? We'll put one TV over here, one TV over here. So you're surrounded in the four sides. Wherever you turn the lulav, there's a TV over there. Lemala, lemata, mizrach, ma'arav. Wherever you go, there's a screen TV. Because the guy can't go 4 amot without having a TV in his house. And then he tells his wife, I want to put a bookshelf. What do you need books for? What do you need books for? Go to the shul to read books. There's a house, not a library. So you use the shul's library, use the shul's sukkah. You should everything. You understand? When a Jew buys a house, so when a baby boy is born, this is a Brit Milah over here, this is a Pidyon Ben. This is a, God gave you these things because without, otherwise there'd be no such thing as a baby boy. The baby boy, so you can have a Brit Milah. You have to look at everything the reverse way, not the way we look at it. We always look at the things, what's the physical benefit for it? No. The physical benefit is a ve'odzot. It's an afterthought. Ultimately, everything always has to be measured. What is the Torah's reason why this was created so Yisrael can keep the law? It's a new way of looking at it. I once heard from Rav Gifter. Rav Gifter said the following, Hiddush. He said, you know, on Leil Pesach, the highlight of Leil Pesach, after the Haroset, is the songs that we sing at the end of the Seder. You know, the Echad Mi Yodeya. It's a very strange song. Who knows one? We're teaching our kids how to count to 13. Who knows two? Who knows three? You know, what kind of childish... A juvenile song after Leil Pesach, when we're involved in the mitzvot of matzah, maror, arba kosot, in the heavens. And now we say, okay, everybody take out the tinker toys
I'm going to stop playing. Who knows one? Who knows two? Who knows? Play games with us over here. Anyway, who sings this song? Rabbis with long beards. They come along and they say, who knows one? Who knows two? Who knows three? So you maybe say, after Arba Kosot, those are the songs you start to sing. After you drink four cups of wine, you start singing, nursery rhymes like this. You know, without four, no one's singing Hadmi Yodeh in the beginning of the Seder. That's when you're sober. Who would ever sing such a song like this? After four Kosot, who knows one? I got a new song. Who knows A? Who knows B? Who knows C? Who knows D? Let's do the alphabet. What kind of song is it? Explanation is not a very deep song. Because if you ask somebody before the Seder, who knows one? You come along, one is a number. One plus one is two. Who knows one? There's one book over here. Who knows one book? There's one cup of seltzer over there. One. Who knows one? At the end of the Seder, we come to the realization, no. You know why there's a number one? Because one is Hashem. That's why it's a number one. What are all the other reasons why we use the number one in math? The odzot. But one is ultimately in. Okay, now we're going to say, who knows two? Oh, two? Two is a pair. Two jacks in cards. You have two jacks, two aces. What do you call that in you have a pair. You win money for that in card game. No. Two is Shnei Luchot HaBrit. It's so you can understand that there's two tablets that were given at Sinai. All the other two is when the doctor says, take two tablets, that's Ve'od Zot. Shelosha is the Avot. Arbaha is the Imahot. Habisha, Humshe Torah. We're taking the numbers and we're saying all these numbers. The purpose of the numbers is to define something spiritual. You might use these numbers. A guy says six. Who knows six? A six pack. Go on the New Jersey Transit. You see anybody come on at Penn Station with a six. Who knows six? I know six. Six packs, a six pack of beer. Who knows seven? Seven is one for good luck. Which means six is Shisha Sedre Mishnah. Have a good day. I need a six pack of beer. The odzot is also that. Understand? Eight is Milah. That's why you have the number eight. So you can count 8 days to Brit Milah. Shmona Yime Milah. That's eight. Now you know what the number eight is. Eight is Milah. Understand how we're doing it now? 10? So you can count the Ten Commandments. Oh, I thought the 10 is because of the Olympic for the decathlon. I needed to know. No, that's also. You don't tap for that all, but that's not the reason. Here they go. Here it comes. Baruch Abba. We mentioned Arba Kosot and they came. Baruch Abba. Beautiful. So we need it. We can make a beracha. Everything has to be understood why it was created for the purpose to serve Hashem. So on, I saw brought down from Rav Chaim HaLevi Soloveitchik. He said, amazing Hadush. So Avraham Avinu has the guests over. What does he serve the guests? The three angels. So it says he served them matzah. So Rashi says, what are you serving your matzah for?
Pesach.
It was Pesach. Hold it. Pesach didn't happen yet. Why do we eat matzah on Pesach? Because when we left Egypt, there was not enough time for the dough to rise. So how are you eating Pesach? The reason for Pesach, eating matzah, did not happen yet. So what do you mean Pesach? No Pesach. You know what Rav Chaim says? You know why you have to eat matzah? Because you have to eat matzah. So Hashem created the whole story of Egypt so you can frame in that story matzah. But the purpose is the matzah.
That's crazy.
Which, why did God make this whole thing that we came out of Egypt in a rush? We always look at it, well, we were in a rush, and because we ran out, and the dough couldn't run, so that's why you eat matzah.
No. Matzah was around before the world was created. Matzah was one of the 613. You got to eat matzah because you got to eat matzah. So what did God do? He created a scenario where you can hang it on that. Because we came out, so you can have a good remembrance of it. But ultimately, the eating of the matzah is because the matzah. So that whole historical story is not the reason why we eat the matzah. It's the opposite. Because we eat the matzah, Hashem made that story. Understand what the opposite? So he learns the pasuk like this. In Haggadah Shel Pesach, what do we say? Ba'avur zeh, asa Adonai li be'sitim imitzrayim. So he says, when you point to the matzah, ba'avur zeh, asa Hashem li be'sitim imitzrayim. Ba'avur zeh, for this, because to the matzah, asa Hashem, all that story when we came out of Mitzrayim is ba'avur zeh. Understand how he's learning it?
That's crazy.
And that's why, ask a question. Why weren't we hatched? Eggs are hatched. Chickens are hatched.
So we have kibud
avim. Because the Torah says, v'timecha. So therefore you have to have parents. Otherwise, how can you have kibud avim? So everything starts from the mitzvah. Aye, but you have parents also to buy you your clothes, and parents take you. Who's going to pick you up from the orthodontist? You need parents also for that. Okay, that's the odzot. Understand? So look how beautiful Ashkafa from Rashi, when he comes and tells us that the sun and the moon ultimately is le'ototul mu'adim. Ayav ototul mu'adim, and then v'ayu le'morot b'rki Hashem le'avdi ben yom ben layla, ve'odzot yishamshu le'ayir le'olam. That's a secondary reason, but everything was created b'shvil Yisrael in order they can fulfill, like Rav Aaron Cutler said, that the reason why they built the Verrazano Bridge was in order that Jews could get from Brooklyn to Lakewood, you know, so they can go study Torah. The toll, and we couldn't get the deal in the summer if we'd have the Verrazano. Okay, well, it's out. Somebody's got to get the deal, but that wasn't the main purpose to get the deal, although today deal's a religious place. But ultimately, we got to get to Lakewood. So they built the Trans-Siberian Road so we can get the railway, so they can get the Mir Yeshiva can escape to Japan, etc. Everything has to be understood. How does this affect Israel and Torah? Now, we're not naive to say there's no other function. Of course there's other function. That's a ve'odzot. You have to know how to prioritize the order of... So look at that. Now you understand what the Ramban... And the Or HaMekadosh said that the lights of the menorah are in front of us. When you have Rashi's, one little line like that of Rashi, and look how he changes our whole perspective of looking at, you know, everything that has to be looked at. What is this item over here? How it can serve for the Torah and the mitzvot? So when a person comes along and he looks at food, now, oh, because there's a Yavsudat mitzvah. So that mitzvah, so you have to have food. So that Shabbat, you got to have all the... So you walk into the store and you see all these delicacies. Well, Torah says you have to have onik Shabbat. So if there's no delicacy in the world, how can you have an onik? So Torah says onik Shabbat, v'samachta be'hagecha. Everything all of a sudden turns into a... the tzaddikim, they looked at everything through the prism. Everything is Torah to the tzaddikim. I once saw, I think the Hafetz Chaim said, on the Mishnah in Masechet Berachot, the first Mishnah says, from what time do you read Kiryat Shema? From what time do you read Kiryat Shema in Arabic? What's the earliest time you can read Shema in Arabic? So what does it say? From the time that the Kohanim can go to the Mikveh if they became Tameh. Okay. Can I ask a simple question? When is that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when the stars come out. So very good. So just tell me when the stars come out. What are you telling me like this over here for? So the Hafiz Chaim says... The Gemara is teaching an extra hadush. That when could the Kohanim go and... So you learned, you got two for one, two for the price of one. Not only did you learn the Zman of Kiryat Shema, but you also learned that Kohanim could also go dip at Tzedekot. So which means the Torah... Habetzai's point, that whenever the Hachamim would answer a question, they would answer a Torah question using an example of more Torah. Understand?
Yeah. Okay.
Everything is Torah. So they're using Torah to explain Torah. So he says, that's the way, when somebody asks you, you know, what time is, what time is the last train to the city? So 10 minutes after the Zman Kiryat Shema of the Magen Abraham. What time is the last train? Oh, you're 10 minutes after the last man. So now already, that's how you look at everything. Zman of the Magen Abraham is 9:08. The last train is 9:18. Finish. You don't know the Zman of Magen Abraham? That's how the tzaddikim would always talk. They're answering a question through the prism of Torah. I once heard from Rav Yaakov Ades. That's a beautiful point on this. At the Kotel, I heard him say this once. He was giving a derash. Rav Yaakov Ades said, you remember when Hillel was on the roof? In the snowstorm?
Yes.
And it was this blizzard snowstorm, and he was frozen ice. And then it was Shabbat already. So they brought him down. And they saw that he was in danger. Sakana. So they had to heat up water on Shabbat. So what do they say when they see him? They say, "Kedai hu Hillel lehalel alav et Shabbat," that we can be mehalel Shabbat to him.
It could be anybody.
No. What? Not could be anybody. What is that language? We can be mehalel Shabbat. Why don't they just say he's in danger? The Hachamim, how do they define danger? This is danger. This is what danger mean. Danger is defined, can you mehalel Shabbat? That's pshat danger. What ramifications does danger have to a Jew? Danger means you can mehalel Shabbat. So therefore, when they see Hillel like that, they don't say, oh, he's in danger. They say, this is a case where you can be mehalel Shabbat. That's their way, which in the Talmudic dictionary, when you write danger, means somebody that you could be mehalel Shabbat for.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't write that. Danger, we would say somebody that's in a precarious situation, somebody that's life is being threatened, somebody that's... that's true, but that's not the... You want to know what the real definition of danger is? Danger is somebody that you can mehalel Shabbat for. That is what danger is. So when they see Hillel, they come along and give the essence. They don't say, this is a dangerous situation. They say, this is a situation where the Torah allows you to be Hallel Shabbat. Pirush, he's in danger of his life. Instead, how they looked at everything through the prism of Torah, and that changes the whole attitude of everything. And that reminds you of your purpose then. Then the jacuzzi becomes a zot ve'od, and the mezuzah becomes primary. Then the sukkah becomes the primary, and the swimming pool becomes zot ve'od, and then you start to put everything in the right. You know, what are you doing over here for? What did you come here for? If you tell me that even the light of the sun and the moon is secondary to their primary purposes of creating a Pesach and a Sukkot in the proper times, so all the more so all the other things.
Wow.
And that's the great lesson that we learned from these five words in the Pirush Rashi. Baruch Adonai
Le'olam. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.